This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wachovia, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, your Southeast Toyota dealers, the Parts House, and by Everbank. The appearance of Pete Bedizak is made possible by the Cascades of World Golf Village. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Jaguars win it 36-26 in Buffalo after a slow start. The Jaguars able to put things together and have a very few problems late in the ball game. A couple of hiccups here and there, some things to work on. But remember, at one point, the Jaguars trailed by 10, 13-3. After that, they were able to rattle off 33 points to Buffalo's 13 after that. So a very good performance by the Jaguars after a rocky start. Jaguars now 3-2, and they are just 3 minutes and 32 seconds away from being tied atop the AFC South. That's because the Giants and Texans playing in Houston right now, and the Giants have controlled this ball game from the outset. The 34-10 score right now, with less than 3 minutes remaining now in the ball game, and Hakeem Nicks has a couple of touchdown catches. The play of Eli Manning has been very good today. The Giants have over 400 yards in total offense. Houston has not been able to run the football at all. They've shut down the running game and Arian Foster in this one. Foster has just 24 yards rushing. So as soon as this game goes final, the Giants will win, and Houston will fall to 3-2. It'll be the same record as the Jaguars will be as well. Indianapolis has gone to 3-2. They beat Kansas City 19-9, so the 72 Dolphins can start popping the corks on the undefeated streak. Nobody will go undefeated throughout the entire season. Chiefs, the last team to lose. It was a rather one-sided affair in terms of the field goal kicking. Both Adam Vinatieri and Ryan Succop did most of the scoring until, with 4 minutes remaining in the ballgame, Mike Hart ran one in from 11 yards out for Indianapolis. The final score, 19-9. The Chiefs lose in Indianapolis today. Other finals. Atlanta has beaten Cleveland today 20-10. Matt Ryan, 16 of 28 for just 187 yards and a touchdown. But Seneca Wallace, who also threw for a touchdown, Jake Delhomme, both played at quarterback today for the Browns. Josh Cribbs even threw a pass, but it was not enough for Cleveland. So Atlanta wins that one 20-10. Other games going on right now. Baltimore just 35 seconds away from closing out Denver. The Ravens with a 31-17 lead in this ball game. Joe Flacco has not thrown for a touchdown. It's been the running of Ray Rice that has gotten it done. 133 yards rushing for Ray Rice. Two touchdowns. He's also caught four passes for 26 yards, so a big day for Rice. And with the 35 seconds remaining, the Broncos have just scored a touchdown on a Kyle Orton, a Brandon Lloyd score, the second time those two have hooked up. But it's 31-17 with 35 seconds remaining. Baltimore looking like they're going to go on to the victory. Chicago's going to beat Carolina. Two-minute warning in Charlotte. It's 20-6, the Bears leading Carolina. Detroit's going to get their first win of the season, and they're going to do it in big style, 44-6. Sean Hill has thrown three touchdown passes. The Lions have scored on a kickoff return, on a interception return, and, of course, also on both through the ground and through the air. So it's been a rather lopsided affair today for Detroit over St. Louis. Washington and Green Bay tied at 13 with a minute 7 to play. Graham Gano has just booted a 45-yard field goal, and the Redskins about ready to kick off to Green Bay. So Aaron Rodgers will have just a minute 7 to go. And Cincinnati with a 21-14 lead right now over Tampa Bay with 2:18 to play. All right, let's hear from the head coach, Jack Del Rio, standing by with Jeff Loggeman.
All right, thank you, Colin, here with head coach Jack Del Rio. Jack, you got to be proud of your football team. Two turnovers early, you get down 10-0, and the way they fought back I thought was tremendous.
Yeah, I think minus 3 on the day, if I'm not mistaken, turnover-wise. So it wasn't all like we know we can do it, but gritty effort. We came up here on the road. We were definitely in control in the second half. Had to fight our way out of a little bit of an early hole, and I think that showed some of the resolve that I'm talking about with these guys. You know, we talked about it all week. And you're going to face adversity. That's the NFL, and how you respond really says more about you as a group of men and as a football team than anything else. And I thought we hung in there good early and fought our way back and then took control.
defensively, certainly some ups and downs, and it seemed like you guys kind of gathered steam as the game went on. You were playing a bunch of different safeties early on. Aaron Campman came up with some big plays. They were getting some rushing yards, and all of a sudden in the second half, things kind of turned. Defense came together, started stopping a run, forced some three and outs.
Yeah, we're scratching the surface. I really feel like, you know, we can be a really stout unit, and we had spurts today where it was excellent. You know, and the run fits. You know, really, it's I think we're fitting it okay. I think we had some missed tackles that were ugly, and so we end up, you know, kind of moving some other guys in there, trying hoping that they tackle a little bit better in those situations. And so that was a little bit of an issue early. And you know, we did settle down, play good football. I thought Campman was big in the game. I thought Terrence showed up. I mean, Tyson showed up. I thought, you know, we had guys that were draped around the quarterback. We had a little pressure throughout the ball game, and you know, I thought it was a pretty solid effort.
Special teams continues to be great. Josh Scobie, 5 of 5 on field goals, and you got a nice boost from Deji Kareem. Not only as a kick return, I think 140-something yards in returns, but as a running back when Maurice Drew got nicked up.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that set the tone now for the second half, and us taking control was him popping that long return. And so that first drive, we go down and capitalize after that long return. The second drive, you know, we're sitting there with a 4th and 1 where, you know, that dumb coach, I don't know what he was thinking there. it was one of those deals where, you know, really the communication of what I wanted and what we executed was not there, and I take full responsibility. I want to be aggressive if we like the look there for an easy sneak, and if not, I want to take the delay. And that's on me. I didn't do a good enough job communicating that properly, and I'll make sure I get that done. But, you know, we took a look to be aggressive, end up costing us a little bit and put the game in jeopardy for a little while, and that's definitely on me. Our guys bailed us out.
Good answer, Jack. Just real quick here, Maurice Jones-Drew starts getting nicked up. You know, I'm worried. We're like, oh, my gosh, if something serious, he's taking his gloves off. So all of a sudden, Superman's back in the game.
I know. Somebody must have had a piece of kryptonite out there momentarily. I was concerned about it because, you know, he was expressing some concern. I know how tough he is and expressing concern, but it wasn't anything to do with his legs. It was his hand. And then all of a sudden, he was fine. So he went back in a little bit. So I think he's fine. I know the docs will check him out one more time. But to see him return was obviously great because, he, you know, he's obviously one of our studs. But Deji had a great day. You know, Rashad wasn't able to go today, and I thought Deji came in and did a nice job. We had Brock Wolin up as well for the first time today.
All right. Any other injuries to speak of besides Maurice?
No, I think as a football team, we got through it pretty good. There were a couple of guys I saw doing some extra stretching, getting attention from the docs. I haven't heard anything official on that yet. I think we came out of it in pretty good shape.
All right, thank you, Jack.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
All right, that's the Coach's Report with Head Coach Jack Del Rio, brought to you by our friends at Bubba Burgers. And as part of that, you heard the injury report brought to you by the folks at Brooks Rehabilitation. Good news on Maurice Jones-Drew. Nothing serious. We'll take a break, come back more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show after this on Jaguars Radio.
Jacksonville's 24-hour newsroom.
Welcome back to Ralph Wilson Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. Jaguars win it by 10, 36-26, and our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP is with Jeff Lagerman. Deji Kareem, 15 carries, 70 yards today, 4.7 per, and then he had 4 kickoff returns for 145 yards, average 36.3. So all told, the rookie in his debut had 215 total yards, and most of those rushes were important in the second half after Maurice Drew got hurt, Loggy.
And Deji, Brian just rolled the numbers out, over about 215 total yards. First NFL action, how's it feel?
Feels great. You know, just being able to get out there after 7 weeks of not, you know, of working to get back out there. So it felt great. I was energized, ready to go, and was ready when called upon.
Any issues with the thumb? I mean, every week I'm asking the head coach, Jack. I said, hey, Jack, you know, is he ready to go? Is the thumb an issue? And he said, we'll get him up. And how did it feel?
I felt great. I had no issues at all. You know, I've been told all week, you know, hold the ball high and tight. And, you know, just got to keep doing that. And I've been practicing for a while. So, you know, I mean, I've had no issues whatsoever.
Did you expect to get that much action on offense? I mean, Maurice all of a sudden gets nicked up, and then all of a sudden, hey, 35, you're in.
I was prepared. I was prepared because that's what Coach has done all week, has got me prepared to, you know, might need you more than what you think. So just, you know, whatever happens, be ready and, you know, be ready to go.
All right, congratulations. Great job, Dave.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP, and Jeff has handed him a Bueller Swiss, the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robeson Jewelry in Robeson Jewelry Company in Fernandina, Fascinated Rainbow in Ocala, and Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park, Florida. O'Reilly Auto Parts Offensive Player of the Game. You choose. Loggy, I think maybe we decided we're going to go with Mercedes Lewis, right?
Yeah,
he had four catches and two touchdowns.
Yeah, and in particular because, I mean, you look at that rushing yardage total, and he's a big help to that. And then two touchdown catches, which gives him the record, right? Franchise record
yep.
for five touchdown receptions.
Five in the season. In five games. So many more to come. All right, Loggy, we don't have an award, but the defensive player of the game?
Aaron Campman.
Yeah, a lot of tackles.
Two sacks, passed. He was actually dropping back coverage, making tackles there, too. Great all-around job.
And five field goals from Josh Colby.
Yeah, lots to choose from. It's like that after a win on the road, isn't it?
It sure is. Logs, thanks so much. We'll see you on. Who's our guest on TV tomorrow night? Do you know
we're working on it.
All right, All Access tomorrow. Surprise guest. We'll bill it as that for now. Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate it. Quick look at the final stats check brought to you by Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. Jaguars rolled up 381 yards of offense, allowed 306, ran for 216, gave up 110. David Garrard today was 16 of 20. Nice job by David. 80% completion rate. Good gracious. Not 80, pardon me. My math's not working. 178 yards, three touchdowns, the one interception, passer rating of 122.5. Maurice was the leading rusher, 19 carries, 84 yards. Of course, you heard Deji, 15 for 70. Mercedes, four catches, two touchdowns. Mike Thomas had four catches for 51 yards. Mike Sims-Walker, four for 46 and a touchdown. And let's not forget Mike Thomas. He had 51 yards receiving and 53 yards rushing, so he had 104 yards on the day. Quick look at the numbers. Cole and Pete and Marco will go through them ad nauseum. When the Jaguars win at home, folks, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. You'll get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after the Jaguars win at all participating North Florida Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Time for the Bud play of the game. And we go to the end of the first half. Jaguars have given up 10 points on two turnovers, trailed 13-6. And they got the ball back with 4:36 to play. We even said it. John Dineen said to me here in the booth, they need a four-minute drive right now. And so they took over at their own 15-yard line, and it was Maurice. And then David found Mike Thomas for 25 yards, and all of a sudden it was on. And so they got all the way down to the Buffalo one-yard line. And on second and one with 29 seconds to play, David found his new favorite touchdown target. Three tight ends, I formation. Second and goal inside the one. Garrard's going to hand the ball. No, he's going to roll right, and he's looking for Mercedes Lewis, and Lewis has it. That's a touchdown. And it made the score 13-13 at the half. Then Deji Kareem has the 51-yard kickoff return to begin the third quarter. And that drive, consecutive drives, ended with David finding Mercedes Lewis. That's our Bud play of the game brought to you by Bud Light. It's a sure sign of a good time. Here we go to Monday Night Football a week from tomorrow. The momentum is still there, and that place should be rocking. If you don't have a ticket yet, 633-2000. If you're outside the calling area, jaguars.com or 904-633-2000. You need to be there. The folks at CopyFax, Jason DeFore and his crew, thanks so much for presenting us with our game boards. Yet again, the only and exclusive provider of business machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars. John Dineen made the trip on the team charter, and he was outstanding today, keeping us abreast of what was going on and storylines. Appreciate having our road spotter, Atlantic Beach's own John Dineen. Scott Kushner, quiet. You never hear from him. Sometimes I wonder if he's back there, but we wouldn't be on the air if he wasn't. He is outstanding. And, of course, what would we do without Mr. Is this mauve or is this purple today?
Purple.
Purple shirt, purple sweater. He's Barney, ladies and gentlemen. He is our executive producer, Joe Fortunato. You love me. Yeah, we'll go with it. Everyone loves everyone when the Jaguars win on the road. We're going to hand it over to the best closing crew in the National Football League. Cole, Pete, Marco, Linda, Jay, Ed, the entire crew's got you the rest of the way. Final score for the final time from Buffalo, 36-26. Jaguars are 3-2 and in a first-place tie in the AFC South. Have a great night, everybody. You've been listening on the Jaguars Radio Network.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Now from Jaguars Central, Cole Pepper, Pete Vanizek, Marco Coleman following the Jaguars 36-26 victory over the Buffalo Bills. Jaguars now 3-2 on the season. Gentlemen, could have been a lot. I think we've all had some nervous thoughts early on, Pete, but Jaguars got it rolling and took care of a team that's just not a very good team, and that's what you want to do during the season.
Well, I tell you what, they gave him a little birthday party at the beginning of the game, giving him a few presents and gifts and all that stuff. But you know, I like the way they came back. That's a good sign. You know, when you face adversity early in the game and you get yourself back against the walls right away and you come out of it, you come out fighting. That's a sign of growth. You're making progress, and that part I like. But against good teams, you know, Buffalo isn't the pride of the NFL by any means. I think they're one of the most dysfunctional football teams I've seen in about 10 years. They're not a good football team at all. But at least we bounced back and played well, ran the ball well again.
I said to somebody this week, Marco, that I was dreading hearing this call from somebody on our postgame show. Jaguars played down to the level of competition again. But you know what you mentioned before the game is that this is a team that, I mean, statistically, there are some real similarities between the Jaguars and the Bills. The Jaguars are clearly a better team, and they played like it today.
Well, they definitely did. They done what they were supposed to do. But you can still see that there are some issues, specifically defensively.
Yep.
They're going to see a lot better offensive teams coming up here. And if they don't get some of those things corrected, they're going to be in some serious trouble.
All right, let's talk big picture here, because the Jaguars now have 8 days to enjoy this one. Or Jaguars fans have 8 days. The players themselves will have the 24-hour rule to deal with. But a week from tomorrow night, Monday Night Football here in town with the Jaguars and the Titans. And, Pete, I mean, we saw a lot of energy for that Colts game, and now you get this win. It wasn't so important that you had style points today, but in terms of keeping some momentum and really building towards something, this is going to be a big Monday night game.
Yeah, I was a little concerned that we'd be still celebrating the Colt game, you know, that this and that, and but now, you know, we're into the meat of our schedule. Now comes the big boys down the block. You know, you got the Titans, and then you got to go away to play two games on the road against a very good Kansas City team. They're doing something right,
tough place to play.
Yeah,
yep.
And against a Cowboy team in Dallas. So then you get a bye a little bit, but we're into the meat of our schedule. This is where, you know, the pendulum will swing one way or another.
I'm just looking forward to this week, Marco. I mean, I think leading up to a Monday night game against the Titans, one of the reasons why a lot of us fall in love with sports at a young age, as fans or as players, is the atmosphere, the feel of it, the energy, the excitement, the anticipation. And we're going to have all of that for Monday Night Football.
It's nothing like a Monday night game. I remember my first Monday night game. It was the most exciting opportunity of my whole career, the very first one. I mean, all of them were always exciting. But now with the Jaguars, with, you know, back-to-back wins, this is going to make this a very exciting Monday night. I'm excited. And you got, you know, outstanding, you know, Tennessee. This is a big-time rivalry here against
sure.
the Titans. This is a big game also. So I look for a lot of electricity come Monday night.
Pete, do you remember your first Monday night game?
I can't remember that far back. No, I think it was against the Cleveland Browns and the place they called the Mistake by the Lake, and it was, you know, it was always cold there, and I can remember that old sandy infield and of course it held like 85,000-86,000 people and you know it was a wild place, but plus I had a pretty good game against them. But, you know, we played good on Monday nights. I think the record when I was playing with the Raiders, I think we probably only lost about one or two games on a Monday night. As a matter of fact, there for a while, we had the best Monday night record of any NFL team for a number of years.
And then?
Of course, I can't say that now.
I was going to say, how things change sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, the big picture for the Jaguars, they're 3-2. The Giants have now polished off Houston 34-10. The Colts beat Kansas City 19-9. So if Tennessee, who had just scored a touchdown against Dallas to open up the scoring 7-0, if Tennessee wins, you have the whole division going to be 3-2. So you can if that happens, you can be the ultimate judge of a pessimist or an optimist. Either the Jaguars are in first place or the Jaguars are in last place, because everybody in the division have the same record.
Well, along with three other teams,
you know,
if it happens, you know, with Tennessee and Dallas. But you know what? It's just like starting all over. That'll be a dogfight. You know, I always thought that we had the toughest division, you know, in football. But I'm not quite sure. I think the guys in the Eastern Division are pretty pretty solid. Yeah.
Things will certainly flesh out as we go along to see how far as the divisions are concerned. Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take time out when we come back. We'll dig into the offense a little bit. Most particularly, talk about Mike Sims-Walker, talk about Deji Kareem, and Marco might get a word in about Mercedes Lewis along
89.
The way.
Not again.
Back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pfeffer, Pete Vanizek, Marco Coleman. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta only at your local Southern Ford dealers. All right, let's get right to it. Talking about the offense. Marco, I'm going to give you first crack at it. Mercedes Lewis, you have been calling for it since the first practice we stood on the field during OTAs. You said, they got to get the ball to 89 more often.
And I tell you, he is one of the most dominant. He can be one of the most dominant tight ends. Mm-hmm. And he answered a lot of my questions when we had him in for the interview. So now I'm a little bit – I'm more understanding now. I'm going to be more patient. And I was, and here it is. He comes with a big – two big touchdowns. There's not too many people that can cover this guy. And blocking-wise, I think he's just as big an attribute to the offense as Maurice Jones-Drew now.
Yeah, and when he's at his best, I mean, I think he's been the best player. I mean, Jack Del Rio said he was the best, most dominant player in training camp. I think he's been the Jaguars' best player so far on offense this year.
I say what's the biggest – consistent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you got a lot of guys on the team that are great athletes, but consistently, always you can count on this guy week in and week out.
Yeah, and now, of course, the big question will come up in the offseason about re-signing him.
Give him some money.
Yeah, if you got a hold of the purse strings –
you better pay him. Somebody else will, that's for sure.
Yeah. Maurice Drew today, Pete, was workmanlike in 19 carries, 84 yards, had the injury, but I thought the real standout in terms of the backs was Deji Kareem today, both on returns and coming in as a rookie and making some plays.
Yeah, I thought he gave us a lift in the second half. I thought Jones Drew did a good job. I mean, of just grinding the ball out. I think. All you had to do is feed him the ball, and he could have probably had well over 150 to 170 yards today if they would have just kept him in there the whole second half. But
a little bit of a mismatch there in terms of Buffalo.
Our offensive line just completely. Although in the middle line at times, I thought Meester struggled with Stroud in the middle there a little bit, and this other guy Johnson. Mm-hmm. But all in all, we could have dominated the game and ran it right down their throat, I think, for four quarters if we wanted to.
What did you think of David Garrard's performance?
I thought he was solid. I thought he was managed a good game today and did all the things that we ask him to do. You know, again, when David tries to do too much and gets out of his comfort zone, he can make mistakes very easily, and he did that by throwing a pick.
Like you said, I was saying earlier before the game started, as long as they kept to what they did last week, keeping it, like Pete said, not to where David has to win the game. And the reverses, the misdirection plays, Maurice Jones-Drew getting a lot of carries, that's going to help David out tremendously.
Mike Sims-Walker gets a catch in a Jaguars win for the first time this year. that was a crazy stat. No catches in the Jaguars' two victories. He finally got a couple today, including a touchdown. What's going on with him in your mind? Have you been able to diagnose what's happening there with Sims-Walker?
I thought that he has some troubles getting open. You know, in my opinion, I don't think it's so much. I think he made mention of quarterback and sometimes the coaches. I think it's more so him just being open. And David's got to have a guy that's open. You know, finding those small windows and getting the ball in there, that's not his forte. You got to have almost like a wide open guy, and I don't see him getting that separation from defensive backs and being wide open.
All right, I'll ask the question, Pete. Do the Jaguars have a number one wide receiver right now?
No. I in my opinion, we have a we have an adequate as a group. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not outstanding by any means. In other words, we don't have a threat on our team that any team has to be concerned with, and that's one of the problems of our offensive unit. We don't have a Jimmy Smith. We don't have that burner, that's a breakaway guy. I don't you very see a Dirk Cutter send a call a play that throwing the long one. You know, mm-hmm. it's always the deep ins, outs, the crossing patterns, etc. So we've got a group of receivers. If you want to give them a grade from 1 to 10 in the National Football League, I'd say 5. Maybe 6 at times.
Yeah, adequate, but not game breaking.
But no,
at this point.
No.
All right. Well, and frankly, again, the play call. I thought the approach, the play calling, I thought was very good. We'll get to the fourth down call in a bit, but I thought the approach, the general game plan that they put together, I thought was a good one on offense mm-hmm. today for the Jaguars. Cool down with a refreshing real fruit smoothie from McDonald's, available in wild berry or strawberry banana, starting at just $2.29. McDonald's. I'm loving it. We'll take time out. Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls on. Still to come, the Sexton summary, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and much, much more. Jaguars win it 36-26. Go to 3-2 and set up a showdown with the Titans on Monday Night Football. Back after this time out here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pfeffer, Pete Banaszak, Marco Coleman. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the MVP teacher of the week. Brought to you by Community First Credit Union. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for details. Coming up, we'll have the Baptist Health coverage of the game and the Insurance Office of America bringing you the protector of the game, plus the Sexton summary and more. Let's talk about the defense right here, though, Marco. I thought Aaron Kampman played his best game as a Jaguar. He's played good game. I mean, I don't think he's had a bad game this year, but boy, he pretty much was disrupting, whether it was in pass pressure, against the run, knocking balls out of the air. He was terrific today.
Oh, he had an awesome game. I mean, his energy level is superior to, you can see across the board, of all the rest of the players that are on the defensive line. But it does help. I mean, not to discredit his efforts, that play against the Buffalo Bills offensive
sure.
line.
You got to do it against somebody, right?
You got to get it in, you know. But like I said, I can't discredit, because it's hard to do against any other man, and he did that today. Had an outstanding game. Great job.
He also played over a guy that, I tell you, this guy's got to be the worst tackle in pro football, Cornell Green. This guy, you know, Artie, if he can play tackle, you could play 30 years in the NFL.
I got a future.
But this guy, you know, this guy was with the Raiders a couple years ago, and he can't. I mean, he can't block anybody. I don't know how he stays in the league.
Well, you see, at the end of the game, they took him out. They had the Georgia Tech guy in there.
This guy can't even get out of a stance, and he's. I don't. Boy.
Focusing on Kampman, though, I mean, what an offseason pickup he's been. Huh?
Oh, he has been. He's a true leader, and that's what this team needs. You know, we lack leadership, but Marco said, he's got a high motor. He gives anything less than 100% is to him is not acceptable, and that's the way he plays the game. And you know what, whether it's a good offensive line or bad offensive, he plays at that high level all the time. I agree. He had a great game today.
All right, let's shift attention from an area that's been very good, the defensive line, to an area that has been not so good, the defensive backfield. The Jags played some musical chairs at safety with Anthony Smith and Don Carey. Derek Cox got put in the game late or after the start of things and replaced David Jones for most of it. I thought Cox played pretty well at cornerback. Yeah. Mathis had his slips, though, I mean, sometimes literally and figuratively. What are the Jaguars going to do about this defensive back?
They got to go ahead and just settle on a group. I think the uncertainty out there. And then a guy can't play. It's hard to play when you're looking over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. That if any little bitty mistake that I make, I'm going to be yanked. Now, let's be realistic. Every guy that's out there, man, is as great of a game that Kampman played, if we go through the film, we'll see some mistakes that he made.
Sure.
Now, a guy, it's tough to play when every little thing that you do, you have the chance of being taken out of the game, and especially for a defensive back, whereas you know the confidence is so critical, because you are going to get beat. Offenses are going to find some holes. You know, these guys are just as good an athlete, so you got to be confident in what you're doing, and looking over your shoulder makes it really difficult to play.
And looking ahead, Pete, you talk about the defensive backfield. You know, Vince Young next week, not the kind of guy who is going to scare you in terms of the passing game as much. Matt Cassel, not so much. They've got a couple of weeks here where they're not facing Peyton Manning or Tom Brady again here the next couple of weeks, so they may be able to, you know, figure some things out if they get the right group in there.
Well, I just think it's a lack of talent. I really do. In our secondary, we just don't have good enough football players to compound a problem today. I don't think our linebacking play. We missed Durant extremely. You know, our linebacking play is not good. I saw Russell today, Morrison over pursue, and the cutback was there. Jackson got a couple of cutbacks, good for 10 and 18 yards at a crack there. You can't do that stuff against good teams. You go against good backs, you know, you go against Tennessee next week, Johnson's not a shabby back.
And that's the other, that's exactly what I was going to go to. The next 2 weeks you're going to be challenged in terms
exactly.
of the run, because both Tennessee and Kansas City run the ball.
I mean, just watching this game, you know, the Tennessee offense, Vince Young is going to have more time to throw the ball. I mean, their offensive line is going to be better than Buffalo. So
sure.
if that secondary can't hold up, we're going to see Vince Young play better.
Yeah, you don't see many defenses like Buffalo in the league. I mean, they're the worst. I mean, no question.
There's some real issues there. And so if I'm going to play – as much as I was building up the enthusiasm and the excitement about what's coming up in terms of the Monday night game, let me also temper some enthusiasm and say the Jaguars played against a team that might be the worst team in the National Football League today. Beat them. Had they not made some silly mistakes early on, it would have been a rout.
Could have been a rout. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now I take Ohio State against Buffalo.
Oh, come on now. Let's not get carried
away. I take Georgia Tech against.
You know.
Just don't take Georgia Tech against Kansas.
I wouldn't take Miami.
No. all right, the Jaguars with a win, 36-26, so over the Buffalo Bills today. When we come back, we'll have the Sexton summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars reward card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline to get $2 in Jagbucks. For details, go to jaguars.com. Back with more on the Winn-Dixie postgame show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie postgame show. Following the Jaguars' 36-26 victory over the Buffalo Bills. Tired of defending what you pay for car insurance? With Geico, you won't have to. Go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO for your free rate quote. And see how much you can save. All right, time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. The highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Jaguars forced a 3 plays and out in the first possession for Buffalo, but on the ensuing punt, Mike Thomas fumbled it back to the Bills, and 1 play later, Buffalo would make the Jaguars pay.
It's Patrick, quick drop, looking right, now comes back left, under pressure, turns and throws the ball. He's got Lee Evans down the sideline. He'll score a 45-yard touchdown. One turnover, one touchdown, and the Jaguars are in a 6-0 hole.
And suddenly it was 7-0 after the extra point, and on the following possession, more trouble for the Jaguars. A David Garrard pass tipped at the line, intercepted by the former Gator Andre Davis, and that set up a Buffalo field goal. Ryan Lindell from 29 yards out. Josh Gobie would hit one from 49 to make it a 10-3 ball game before Lindell countered. It was 13-3 before Scobie lined up for another 49-yard. He banged that one through. 13-6, and there had been no punting for the Jaguars to that point in the game. They forced a second Buffalo punt, and then 10 plays and 85 yards later, the Jaguars would find the end zone for the first time in the game.
Three tight ends, I formation. Second and goal inside the one. Garrard's going to hand the ball. No, he's going to roll right, and he's looking for Mercedes Lewis, and Lewis has it. That's a touchdown!
With 25 seconds left before halftime, that was the score at the break, 13-13. Second half belonged to the Jaguars on their first possession. After a very good kick return from Deji Kareem, Jaguars would take just 3 plays to find the end zone again.
David drops to throw, has time, no pressure comes, steps, turns, throws. He's got Mercedes at the 5, and the big man spins and reaches for the end zone.
That's a touchdown.
Touchdown!
That's a touchdown.
They're talking about it, now they say touchdown!
And it was, and it gave the Jaguars a 20-13 lead after a David Garrard fumble on 4th-and-1 from their own 45. We'll talk about that in a bit. Buffalo able to find the end zone again on a Ryan Fitzpatrick to Steve Johnson 5-yard touchdown. Tied the game at 20. But the Jaguars were undeterred. After another good kick return from Deji Kareem, a 9-play 53-yard drive that included Deji with a 13-yard run, a first down pass to Mike Sims-Walker of 23 yards, and then on 3rd-and-goal from the 7.
Zach Miller's the only tight end on the field. He and Sims-Walker are left. Underwood and Thomas are right. David takes the snap and drops back. Pocket collapsing, turns and throws. He's got a man. Touchdown, Jacksonville. He got Mike Sims-Walker, and the Jaguars regain the lead.
It was 27-20. From there, Josh Gobie booted field goals from 34, 40, and 46. 5 field goals ties the team record for Scobie. A late Ryan Fitzpatrick to Steve Johnson touchdown pass made it more cosmetic. Final score, 36-26, Jaguars with a victory. That was the Metro PCS Sexton summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We'll come back with more analysis of the Jaguars' victory over the Bills, the coverage of the game, and the protector of the game straight ahead. Plus, what in the world was Jack thinking going for it on fourth down? Back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars' 36-26 victory over the Buffalo Bills. Jaguars take care of business. It was a TCB kind of game today. Just take care of business, get the win, get out of there, and get ready for the Monday night affair week from tomorrow against the Tennessee Titans. The Titans, by the way, playing right now against the Dallas Cowboys in a matchup of the old Battle of Texas, the former Houston Texans, or former Houston Oilers, rather. It's a 10-3 Tennessee lead over Dallas. Vince Young has a touchdown pass earlier in this one that really the credit needs to go to the receiver. Nate Washington made a terrific catch between two Dallas defenders in the end zone to get it done. All right, time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville's circle of care. Marco, what do you think in terms of the coverage of the game?
I'm going to give it to my man Derek Cox getting back in the game. I thought he played pretty well, locking some guys in, showing that he should have been in the game, should have been playing a lot sooner.
And, you know, Pete, you talked about talent being an issue for the defensive backfield. If Derek Cox shows some of the form that he showed last year, that helps your assessment of, hey, you know, maybe some more talent back there in the back.
Absolutely. You know, that would offset quite a bit. You know, if he can get back into last year's form and tackle like he did and cover like he did, we could be fairly decent on the corners. You know, again, safeties are issues with us, but our overall, you know, secondary leaves a lot to be desired at this time. You know, good quarterbacks will just rip us apart. They shred us. But it's good to see him back. Perhaps, you know, he'll be in there more regularly.
Next time the Jaguars will see, a Pro Bowl-level quarterback. Probably going to, you know, Tony Romo, if you put him in that category, three games from now. Ooh, Matt Schaub after the bye week.
Young was in a Pro Bowl now.
Okay, come on now. He's not a Pro Bowl passer. I don't care. You can tell.
He's been in a Pro Bowl. He's a Pro Bowler.
David Garrard has been in the Pro Bowl, too.
He's a Pro Bowler.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying, I'm talking about a guy who's a Pro Bowl-level passer who's really going to chew you up quite a bit. He just missed a wide-open Nate Washington, by the way, on an out route. Time now to name the protector of the game, brought to you by Insurance Office of America. Pete, what do you think about the protector of the game?
Well, today I just thought Eben Britton had an outstanding game. I mean, he was down the field blocking on the linebackers, number 51 for the Bills, he had him like he was on roller skates going backwards, and numerous times absolutely no pressure from that side of the Bills' defensive line. It was just completely dominating.
Marco, in general, there wasn't a lot of pressure on Garrard most of the game.
Not at all. I mean, that's a testament to, one, the offensive line, and then, two, the Bills just do not have anything, yeah. I mean, at all on their team. They need help in almost every position.
Yeah, and that's one of the teams. You talk about the expectation the Jaguars would draft a quarterback in April. That's one of the teams that will be drafted in front of the Jaguars, and they need a quarterback.
Have a number one pick.
They need
They might not win a game this season.
No, I don't think, you know, their quarterback was bouncing balls. Yeah. I mean, that one pass.
There was something wrong with his hand for a while there or something. It had to be.
And he threw a quick out 25 feet over the guy's head, and then he comes back and throws a bouncer.
All right, let's take time out. We'll come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly as the Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls on after the Jaguars' 36-26 victory over the Buffalo Bills, back after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Following the Jaguars' 10-point victory, 36-26 over the Buffalo Bills. Time now for Pete Banaszak to unveil the good, the bad, and the ugly from today's game. Peter, what do you have?
Mostly all good stuff. Mostly all. to win a game where you faced early adversity, committing those turnovers, I think is good. I think that's part of growing up. I think that's part of, you hung together, you kept your confidence, and you bounced back, you overcame it. And good teams, they can get through that. They can make mistakes and recoup and regroup, and we did that. And I think that plays an important role growing up. We're a young team. I think our offense, we've learned a lot there. Conversely, the bad thing is the turnovers. We can't make turnovers. We're playing the little sisters of the poor today. But it gives the Jaguars credit. We played well, and we beat the hell out of them. But we can't make turnovers. We can't make them like that again next week against Tennessee. And also the bad call by the head coach. I think, that's getting to be a common occurrence around here. And we see that quite a bit around here. But fortunately, we were playing a bad time, or a bad team. And the ugly thing is the Bills. I can't help myself. We've got to give the Jaguars credit, but the Bills are a completely dysfunctional team, from offense to defense to special teams. I mean, they have nothing. They're little sisters, the weak sisters of the poor there.
And the Jaguars will face much better competition coming up next week when they take on the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football, an 8:30 kickoff from right here at Everbank Field. Stick around in Jacksonville. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is straight ahead. We'll take your calls and hear your comments on the Jaguars' victory over the Bills today, and look forward a little bit to that Monday night matchup against the Tennessee Titans, who are right now trying to run their way through the Dallas Cowboys. Thanks for listening to the Winn-Dixie postgame show following the Jaguars' 36-26 victory. Fun coming up at Everbank Field a week from tomorrow for Monday Night Football. Have a great week, everybody.